Hello and welcome to Side Dish, your podcast about Longmont. Everything that you want to know about Longmont, I guess, and very little that you need to know. I am one of your hosts, Brady Steffel. I'm joined by
Annie Larner.
And we are joined by
Naomi. This is kind of like, I'm not really sure how to say your bio, but Naomi is an Instagram publisher, a creator, I guess it would be a creator. Yeah. And I follow Naomi, and I'm so excited to know you and meet you because I've followed your account for a really long time. It's called Longmont Dish. And I guess you focus on food reviews, you could say, kind of mostly on Longmont, but other areas. So correct, fix everything I just said.
No, that's perfect. And how sweet of you. Thank you for following me for a while. Yeah. I feel like I've really fallen off the map.
You have. I've noticed that.
Yeah. I had a toddler, or I had a baby, and then now that he's a toddler, it's really hard to, like, go places.
Totally.
So, do you want to try the new Thai place, hon? No!
Yeah.
I want goldfish!
We commonly refer to him as the boss, and so it's you want to go to dinner, but I got to check with the boss, because there's a lot of attitude that gets thrown. So originally what I did was a long time ago, and I moved to Longmont about 2012. When I moved to Longmont, I really was disappointed in the food. And so I'm kind of just a picky person. And
Where'd you move from?
I moved from Boulder technically, but originally I'm from California.
Okay.
And I just was disappointed, and I just felt like they were so close. Like, you would get there, the food could be good, but the atmosphere sucked. Or the cocktails were good, but the food, needed salt. Or whatever it is. And I just really kind of wanted to be able to bitch about it. And so that's sort of where I came up with, the name Longmont Dish. And I think I originally had, a tagline, something about, a place to bitch and something this is that. I don't know if we're allowed to cuss or not, but
we'll edit that out.
Sorry. Anyways, that's how I started it. And then I used to go to restaurants all the time and I would write stuff. And then I also started to go to the same restaurants over and over again. And then I used to travel a ton for work. So then I thought, I'll post things about where I'm traveling. And then I really wanted to post recipes and things that I was doing. And then again, I had a baby and my work schedule also tripled at the same time. And so it's not where it needs to be.
Yeah. But you've
so kinda, thanks for hanging in there.
You've been doing some more reviews lately, I've noticed, with some of the new restaurants and stuff. And we'll get to that maybe here down the line. So anyway, definitely, I think, check out Naomi's Instagram account, Longmont Dish. And I can't wait to hear more of your tales about eating in Longmont. Not that these are really tall tales, but...
Oh, I've had some good times.
Okay, good. I can tell. It seems like you really live it up. So what do we got around town?
I want to start by reading a comment from the Longmont subreddit.
Oh, yeah, let's hear it.
Yeah, it's sort of restaurant related. To the waitress at the Pump House last night, I just want to apologize for taking up your table for 2 hours without ordering food. That was a first date. He invited me for drinks and dinner. I had one beer. And he kept sending you away, which bleeped me off because I was starving. He finally admitted he was on a new weight loss med and wasn't hungry. WTF, who invites you to dinner? Then you would let me order because he wasn't hungry. Then he asked if I wanted to go somewhere else and get drinks. No thanks, I'll just call it a night. Then he asked if I want to see him again. Hard no, lol. That goes on a bit like that. It is just
Reference our more recent podcast about dating in Longmont and how rough it is.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds to me like a budgetary problem. I think he invited her out and couldn't afford to buy her dinner.
I think that's a good prediction.
Well, I mean, that's also why she made the right choice by not proceeding to the second location.
Yeah.
I mean.
Right.
Do you want to buy?
Bail early. Yikes.
Yeah. And then she goes on to say if I had known what the dating scene was like now, I'd have just thrown the $20 on the table and be like, it's been real. I'm hungry. I got to go. Get some tacos or something. I feel for her. But, it's a rough old world out there. Not everybody's compatible. So if the guy from this story wants to write in, there's an email or whatever.
I always like the open letter to Reddit to apologize to some rando that you never going to read it. Just the platform.
That's why I thought this one bears repeating.
Yeah, I didn't realize this was a thing. I could write a letter to the Pump House waitress from 2 days ago when I had to carry my son out kicking and screaming.
Yeah.
Yes, that's a great place for kids, though. Actually, that's a good question. Where do you think are the best places to bring little kids?
Well, the Pump House used to be a favorite, but I really have to put on a ban list because the candy machine was broken. Okay.
Oh, no.
Ruined everything.
Oh my gosh. When he's a little older, it really is. That's one of our favorites to go to on Sundays after church with some friends because they have all the arcade games, and usually it's like pretty dead by then. So they'll put us back in the red zone, and then we have like a big table, and then the kids just like go wild with the arcade games, and it's not that busy then. So we do like that place, but certain hours of the week, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and when you run out of money, it's like easier to explain with exactly. the older kids, I feel like.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. It's like, I'm like, where's dispense me, please?
Oh my goodness. So, yeah, he always requests to go there, but now we're going to have to put a hold on that. But okay. we always, of course, end up at Long's Peak. I feel like everybody that has super. Kids is there because they can literally run up and down the street. There's very little judgment there.
Mm-hmm. Totally. It's like dogs and kids.
Yeah, and so, exactly. And so I feel like we go there a lot. I do get burnt out on their menu. I'm happy to see they've added a few things. But I was struggling there for a while, and then the prices got hiked as well. And it was like for four of us to go to dinner, it was $100. I'm like, we could have gone to sushi.
Seriously.
Like we got burgers and a beer. Why was this so much?
But they had the kids' night, right, where kids eat free.
What is this? I did not know about this.
Long's Peak Pub forever has had, unless they got rid of it, but I think Wednesday nights, kids eat free.
Oh, man.
I thought you were going to say and they Wednesday offer like discount child beer.
That would be nice. Wednesday nights are the night my husband's supposed to pay for dinner and take us out. Oh. Well, technically it started as him supposed to be making dinner, but it's never happened where he makes dinner. So now he always takes us out on Wednesday. So this is a good tip for him.
Perfect. If you're listening.
Yeah.
All right. So there's a few openings. I think like a bunch of businesses I feel like have turned over or opened recently.
There's a fair amount of stuff available downtown right now. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Okay. So first, well, let's talk about a closing.
Okay.
Haystack Goat Cheese.
Really?
Officially. Oh. Now, you know, they had their goats out at the actual Haystack Mountain for a long time. Mm-hmm. They had their farm out there. And then they were bought out at some point and, like, moved their operations way, like, north. But they still were doing their cheese production out off Weaver Park Road. You know that industrial area east of town by the sugar mill?
Yeah, sure.
So they, but I guess they closed their doors officially, like, recently. So that's a little sad. Rest in peace, Haystack.
I feel like I saw them at, like, the cheese. I didn't see them everywhere. I don't. They look like I saw the cheese everywhere.
I mean, I think it was, like, fairly recent. Like, they're just kind of shutting down their operations.
No, that's too bad.
A little sad.
What else you got?
Okay, Big Five. You know the Big Five store?
Yeah, the one on, like, Main and...
Yeah, this is the most unexciting news, but it turns out I think it'll be a discount store.
Boy.
There you go.
The Big Five's a big chain, too? It's a chain?
Well, Big Five is a chain, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, they were looking... It's a pretty big space. It's like 15,000 square feet.
And is that big?
Yeah.
Holy smokes. So I've been in there and I know those. With really high ceilings. Yeah, I remember going in there being like, this place is super cramped. It's kind of crazy. And I wouldn't have expected
it to be that big. Right, because it's so cluttered in there. We looked at it with a pickleball group who it didn't work out.
I think I bought like a foam roller in there once and then was like, that's fine. I don't need really to go in there again.
Right.
Weird spot. Some of those, I don't know, there's a few spots on Main Street. Yeah. They're like, okay.
I mean, it's kind of fitting for a discount store, but I'm a little, I wished something a little cooler would have gone there. Cause I'm sort of bullish on that part of that blighty part of Main Street right now. Yeah.
You think so?
It's decreasing in quality. It's getting a bit sketchy, I would agree.
But I feel like 1515 Main, which is that shopping center at 15th and Main, that's like the white one on the west side that has the Mexican ice cream shop and...
Blue
corn taco.
Blue corn tacos.
Yeah.
And the new juice place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like that was recently acquired and it's like it's a somewhat local ownership group. When they're trying to like turn that whole shopping center, you know, get it leased back up and stabilize it. And then up just north of there is the Main 16 project, which is kind of on hold right now because everything is, well, just delays.
It's been like since day one of this podcast, they were talking about
I know.
That.
It's just, it's a tough spot and...
I think there's a lot of potential. I see what you're saying. There's a lot of potential between call it 9th and 17th.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of potential there, but I don't think this is just personal opinion that from like 1st to 7th, 1st to 9th is like quite at capacity enough to sort of start the growth up a little further.
I mean, I think 9th is our anchor now with the Lou Cardenas building.
Yep.
And, maybe it can slip a little bit past that.
Yeah,
like,
I'd give it to
that,
like 11th. You get past that and the speed picks up and the landscape changes. And so it's really
But
different.
I don't know. I mean, there are those. There's the Main 16. And then even to the west of that, there's that other project that's already like under construction. There's a delivery of a bunch of new units back
there. Yeah, and I think there's potential back there.
Yeah, I do too.
I don't know if people are going to say, I want to go to these like – weird strip malls that are kind of up. And I don't want to cast too many aspersions, but like, they're, you know, like a lot of them are fairly nondescript. And like, I'm not going like, I want to get up there and like.
I'm feeling positive for the 15th in Maine. I feel like they're going to do a good job.
I'm here for it if it works, man. 100%.
Yeah. All right.
100%.
Okay, so those are the boring openings. Let's see. Snarkington's location, which closed at 324 Maine, they just, there's a new business coming in there. It's a locally owned thing, and it's a new one. Basically, she doesn't have a name for it yet, but it's like home interior design.
Decor. Oh, interesting.
Another one. Love it.
Yeah, I think it'll be similar to the Fig and Ivy. Is that what it's called? Mm-hmm. Fig and Ivy one. Maybe not quite so high end.
Where's Fig and Ivy at?
Same block almost. Or is it on the fourth
it's
block?
It's by the Great Frame Up.
Oh.
It's below A Flore.
That's right.
Like church.
So between 4th and Main, St. Stephen's Church. Yeah. And they do home interior. They're more like designers. And so you come in and you can like pick out your materials and whatnot, and then they would do interior design. I think they also do real estate. This is more just like shop. It's like at home for like small boutique style.
Okay, cool.
So she'll be opening pretty soon.
Nice.
Keep an eye out
pretty
for
cool.
that. Mm-hmm.
I went to like bicycling last night with the club, the St. Vrain Chain Gang.
Mm-hmm.
Got my butt whipped pretty
really?
Good.
Really? Wait, the St. Vrain Chain Gang?
Yeah.
What is that?
It's a bicycle group.
I don't know about it. Tell us.
Oh, enlighten. Well, you go down there and then you bicycle with other old men.
Where does it start? This isn't like the Longmont Bike Night. This is different.
No, it's not like Bike Night. Bike Night's a super casual thing. I don't know when that's starting. It's got to be pretty soon.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if it happens tonight.
Okay.
But yeah, Bike Night, everybody just kind of gets together and you get your kids and there's a big speaker and they kind of just weave through and they shut down traffic and you know an old town and then the dogs are like bow, 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 and I'm like, hey kids, and they're like bing bing, happy bike night. That's bike night. So what I do is more of the mammals, middle-aged men in Lycra.
Okay.
And I'm a part of this, so I'm taking ownership of this, saying like, yeah, it's a bunch of, and I'm, you know, I'm not huge or anything, but it's, you know, like you squeeze in and then you go together and you ride in a group and you get like real try hardy and you go sweat your brains out. And
wait, where do you meet?
This one used to meet at 300 Sons, which was awesome because then you could get a burger when you were done. But now it's meeting at like the Dickens Nature area off mm-hmm. the Greenway. And so we shot out of there and did a 25-mile ride. And that's more than I've been doing. And I was like, I'm going to go up front and I'm going to pull for a little bit. And like my heart was ready to explode. And I'm just not – like I've been working out for a while. But like my power meter died. So if you don't know, you can get a thing for your bike that tells you like how many watts you're generating. And mine died like yesterday and I didn't realize it. And it probably needs a new battery or something. And like I didn't know what I was doing and I was feeling really good. And then all of a sudden my whole body's like, no, you don't. And so then I fell off the back of that and like wheezed at like 180 BPM for like a half an hour. that was wild. But I did that. And I want to give those guys a shout out because they're very accepting.
Yeah,
and super
fun.
Heard
that one.
I usually ride with the A group because I am sort of a skinny, try-hardy dude. But, you know, it's kind of all people welcome. And
sweet.
It's, yeah.
Very
but
it's impressive.
It's fun. Like, it's a fun thing to do. So.
You know what I heard? Someone told me, Kevin, listener, shout out to Kevin, the listener, yesterday, who told me about a Mustang group that gets together on the second Saturday.
Like cars?
Yeah.
Not like
they meet.
Horses.
They meet over in that Tebow shopping where like Texas Roadhouse and everything else is. And you can like get, and actually that probably has something to do with Tebow because he's a total like.
He's a gearhead?
Yeah. He's like a rev head car guy. He has a pretty decent car collection that I think was stored around this area. Anyway, and of course it's on the Tebow property.
He has full-time drivers to continue to drive those cars to make sure that the engines are like running and that they're not getting stale or something. Yeah, my husband's a mechanic, and I know where parts are places where he gets his cars done and things like that. But he literally has someone full-time that just goes out and drives one of his cars for a little bit. Then parks it.
Wow, that's like the most
that's more than
luxurious expenditure I've ever heard of a Tebow. Because he's not a guy who spends a lot of money, except for cars, I guess. So it depends what your passion is. Interesting.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that one.
Yeah, I mean, quite the gig.
Ah.
Really?
Well, Kevin went to this. He said the next one's coming up May 13th, I guess. And you go, maybe it's the first. No, he told me second Saturdays. You gather, and everybody just brings their, like, muscle cars and Mustangs or whatever. And he said there were, like, I don't know, 75 of them or something like that, like a decent amount.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, those things are cool until, like, somebody decides to be a complete yabo. And like,
yabo.
Well, you know, like, it happens. Like, there was actually a thing, like a Cars and Coffee or something up in Fort Collins last year. I think it was last year. And some, we'll call them a yabo, like, hit the gas and didn't know how to control their car and
Oopsie.
Went flying off.
Usually the people who own those cars are pretty, like, they know what they're doing.
Well,
generally.
You'd hope. You'd hope.
It depends. Depends on, I mean, like being married to a car guy, there's a lot of comments I could say, right? If it's right. particular, like the Corvette people always are like in the jean shorts. And then there's like, it's really like, there's always this like stereotype, right? To the type of person. So it kind of depends on the car
so
show
what's
that you're going
Mustang
to.
Stereotype?
I don't know that I have one for Mustang people. Probably because my husband owns a Mustang.
Oh, they're great, but they don't know how to cook, right?
Yeah, they don't know how to cook. Also, it's been sitting in the garage for quite some time. Do the Mustangs even run? I don't know.
I'm dying about jean shorts. Like, I've never put that
You have it? Oh my gosh, I feel like that's such a thing. Constantly, this like my husband mentioned to me one time. Now, nonstop, every time I see a Corvette driver, they're in jean shorts. Like, I just, it's a thing. And nice. Like my aunt and uncle, I hadn't seen in like 15 years. They were happened to be driving like cross country. They were gonna stop in Estes Park. So I'm like, please come by the house. Let's have lunch. And they straight backed into the driveway. Waited for us all to come out to check out the Corvette.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe that's just the Corvette people. But, I mean, like, I don't own a Corvette. Maybe that's just, like, a vibe I haven't gotten quite yet. And,
right.
I don't mean to be, like, super judgy, but I think there's kind of a genre for each car, right. You know?
That's fair. If you don't know, I drive a 20-year-old truck with 200,000 miles. Actually, it's 190,000. I exaggerate. Just hit 190,000 on my way the other day. Love it. It's a piece of junk. I love it to death.
And this truck was born after the year 2000, so just keep that in mind, too.
Year 2000.
Oh, so I was picturing so much older, but I guess, yeah.
Yeah, remember?
I
know.
2000 20 was sounds 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. Like, it's like, because my first car was like a 1979 Grand Prix. And like what I describe it as is like, if you had a child draw a car, probably from 20 years ago, this is the shape you'd get because it's like all right angles. Or if you wanted to build a car out of milk crates, like you could pretty closely get to what this thing was, what looked like. Because it was just like, oh, and then now we got blocks and it's so basic. And it was ugly. And then a bunch of mice had died in it. And so people would refer, like, no, I'll walk. It's okay. Because like when mice die in things, it smells really bad. So
it smells so bad. It's like one of the worst.
I've just been used to having.
And they chew through wires,
which is very
expensive.
They do, yeah. And so, yeah, my windows, one of the windows works that. It was like sort of a fancy car in 79. It had the power windows and stuff. And then like the windows don't work and the whole thing reeks of, like the AC doesn't work. The whole thing reeks of dead mice. I'm like, hey, who needs a ride? I got plenty of room. The car is huge. And they're like, I'm walking. See you later. So that's my I drive cars on that level. That was my first car. And it's just like, that's fine. Then I had like an Oldsmobile that like my dad got for me for like $700 that like a dude had painted with a can, like a click, click, rattle can thing. And it was like he had missed and like hit the windshield and stuff. It was fine. But then the headliner, like the thing above your head, that foamy stuff, like that was falling down. So I took it out. And if you don't know, that stuff's great to keep in your car, even if the carpety part of that's gone. Because if it is sunny, you're basically inside of an oven. And if it's raining, it sounds like shotgun fire going off. So wouldn't recommend that. But once it's out, it's kind of done. So anyway, that's Brady's car history. I don't really get fancy cars because, you know, whatever.
I think this would be an interesting car show, though. Like people that just come with cars with stories, you know?
I love having a car. I call my car, my truck's named Bopalon Cassidy.
Nice. I call mine Business Class. It was an upgrade for me. And so I was just like, everything in here is so fancy. I feel like I'm flying in business class. So it's business.
We have a relatively new Honda CR-V. And that's how I feel about it. It's like, you know, it's like you're not getting that as a teenager. Like, I'm going out cruising for girls. It's like, no, it's a nice economical vehicle.
Yeah.
And that's it. But it feels luxurious.
Yeah.
All right. Man. Let's see what else we got.
Yeah, what else we got?
You know, 723 Main Street. This is by Long's Peak Pub. And it's like constantly had a four-leaf sign on like one of these blade signs. That you can see, like, so here's Long's Peak Pub, and then down Main. Everybody's like, what's that? What's going on? It's been for lease. It's like a little tiny retail shop that's next to Dirt Labs.
I can think of the Dirt Labs label.
Looking at.
Is this north of Long's Peak?
Yeah.
Okay, on yes. Main Street. Okay, yeah. Ooh, interesting story about that space.
Let's hear it. What you got?
So, a long time ago, there was a marketing place there by one of the Chris's. That was with Martinis. I think his name was Chris. I think it was Chris and Nick that used to own Martinis.
Those are generic enough. Like, yeah. Just pseudonyms. These names. That's fine.
So there was the adorable gay couple, I don't know if you remember, that used to own Martinis, but didn't actually own Martinis. Guy, I wonder if I should be telling all these things. But
great. Oh, yeah.
So there was the husbands together. They renamed it, rebranded Martinis. And then.
What was it called before Martinis?
ooh, I think it was called like something with Sarah because I had the.
Chrisars?
Yes. Chrisars. Because it was Chris and Sarah. That's right.
Oh, okay. Chrisars.
Oh. Yeah. And so Chris and Sarah got divorced, and then Chris married or not married. I don't know if they got married ever or what happened, but so he was with, I don't know, the other guy, right? This. So then I always just thought it was this cute gay couple and this was their restaurant. And then out of the blue, unfortunately, the guy died.
Oh, man.
And then the other guy was, you know, really distraught, but he had made himself like a real community member and so made a lot of friends. Anyways, he was like, I want this marketing company. And he went into business with another gal and like was turned out to be this crazy pathological liar. And he, like, they didn't, like, didn't pay for things, was stealing things. Like, all these things were happening. He was living off of people's couches and, like, telling all these really sad sob stories. And this went on and on for, like, a while. Like, every time I turned around, there was some other story about this guy. And anyways, that was what the last time I saw business there. That's what it was.
Weird.
And,
yeah, very weird.
And then that poor gal, like, completely got screwed by this guy.
Okay, so my understanding about the building, at least the one I'm talking about, is that it's owned by an architect. And he has his office in the back of it. Okay. And then there's a retail space in the front. And it's right next to Dirt Labs and looks just like the Dirt Labs building. I think it may be the same owner. I don't know.
I mean, it's brick. Oh, okay. It's a brick building right is there. The one I'm thinking right. of. Yeah, so I could be completely wrong.
No,
wrong.
A lot of no brick I mean, you're, yeah, you're right. It looks like, so I'm looking at the map, and then you've got...
Show her a picture of that.
Yeah, it's very nondescript. There's a big tree in the way, but yeah. There you go. Yeah,
yeah, the one black. Right next, or no, or maybe it was where the sign was. One of the two. Those.
I'll talk them through because yeah. There's right. Like it's an audio medium, and we have to be descriptive.
Well, just
so if you look at Roosevelt, the Roosevelt Apartments, you go north of that. There's sort of like a bricky garage building,
parking garage, and then, that's attached to it.
Yeah, and then there's another like really low strung, like super narrow shotgun house style, that's like Dirt Labs, and then one to the north of that is another thing that looks a lot like Dirt Labs is a black building that has a apparently not being used for anything. And now we're going
right,
to
it's
do
been vacant forever, but now it's going to be a florist shop. There it
very
is.
Exciting.
That's the whole thing. I have no idea. And the name's on the banner, but I forgot it. So this is really good.
There's another
dish,
new florist shop coming a little further north on Main that I just noticed yesterday. Also forgot the name of.
Where?
On Main Street, north of there.
Yeah, that's good enough. That's good enough for this podcast.
It's on the east side.
Okay.
Yeah. Huh. I don't think it's the same one. Maybe it's the same one. Who knows? But I remember thinking, oh, another florist place.
Interesting.
Because like I always go to A Flore, but you know, nice to see more people doing it.
Totally. All right. Yeah. We're flush with florists.
I guess it's boom time for cut flowers.
Yeah, I guess so.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
On that note, I should make a little PSA that the St. Stephen's Church, the historical one that is next to A Flore, is now offering weddings.
Oh, interesting.
Ooh, how
so
fun.
If you know people that want to have a small wedding, you can have a little wedding there.
Yeah.
Because they haven't really offered that previously.
Did you have a big wedding, Annie?
I had a not huge wedding, but a big wedding, I guess you'd say. We had 130 people.
Okay.
So it wasn't like a 200-person wedding, but it wasn't like, you know, 75.
I don't really know what big is, I guess.
I think of a big wedding as like 200.
And is your engagement ring Todd Reed?
It is!
So
Look at you.
Used to do all his marketing and PR years
ago.
Oh
my goodness! Yeah. Well, I worked around the corner when they were at 20th and Pearl.
Oh, that's, yeah, when I worked there.
You're kidding!
Yeah.
That is so nuts.
Yeah, that's what brought me to Boulder, actually, is I got a job. And so he moved me out to Colorado for that job.
Okay,
yeah.
So there's like the awesome era of Todd Reed. And just for you folks out there, he's a jewelry designer in Boulder. And he's kind of like, he's more of a rock hound than anything. He loves gems and minerals. And he kind of got to start doing like gems and mineral shows. And then he got into sort of designer jewelry. And he has this like concept, raw elegance. And so he likes to work with reclaimed diamonds and like colored gems, and he leaves them raw a lot. It's a very
uncut diamonds.
Uncut,
yeah, and then also like colored diamonds, but not like when you think of like a canary diamond, right? Where it's still like clear, but it's yellow. These are like just natural colored diamonds. This is not a very good description, but they're opaque.
You're in marketing.
Exactly.
I know, right? I literally did this for him for years.
That's crazy. So, and we I worked like just around the corner when he was in that spot that had the window like facing Pearl. And then he expanded into, he grew and like expanded to the other one. And that's where he expanded in the space that we were in, my company.
Oh, and gosh. So we were neighbors.
No,
all
truly.
Those
years. Like I walked by every morning, like just like drooling over these like gems on the window on my way to work, you know, and it's like, I have to have one of those. Those are amazing.
Yeah, they're gorgeous. They're absolutely gorgeous.
I have a black, like a black, it's a black diamond, but it's like black as night. It is dark, dark black. And for the listeners, Brady Scott.
I've got it. Nice. It's made of titanium.
That is crazy. What
it's,
else?
It's very much reflective of
sorry for the little Todd Reed minute.
The type of wedding that I had, which okay. had like 9 people in my titanium
okay.
base.
While we're talking about promo stuff, I really wanted to do this earlier in the podcast because it's like really important to me. I okay. have to take a moment for my own selfish promotion for a show coming up June 9th. June 9th. Did you hear that, everyone out there?
June 9th. When? I missed.
June 9th.
And what are we selling?
I will be bringing an artist to town. Her name is Victory Boyd. She's a favorite up and coming artist of mine. She's kind of like hymns, jazz, gospel, soul. And she's coming and bringing two other people and doing like a jazz trio format. And it's going to be at the St. Vrain, which is another wedding venue here in town. And if you haven't had the pleasure of being in the St. Vrain, it is a beautiful space,
gorgeous.
Absolutely gorgeous space, and they're hosting the concert. So I want to encourage everybody to go. I am going to put a check out Victory Boyd and her music. She basically was discovered by Jay-Z way long ago. Her family grew up playing music in Central Park.
How cool.
And then she got on his record label and started doing much music, and later, she did some writing for Kanye West for his Sunday Service project, this crazy project that he did in kind of COVID during his sort of like crazy years, which continue. But
those aren't done.
Oh, yeah. She won a Grammy, though, for the writing work and has been working on her solo project. And I just really love her music.
This is pretty bonkers because it's like, Chicago and Seattle and San Francisco and Longmont.
I'm telling you, like, it's a big deal. She's coming to Longmont. We got her to, like, come. And now Annie needs to not be broke. So please buy tickets and come to this show.
Yeah, this sounds
June
amazing.
9th, Victory Boyd. Check her music out. And I will put a link to the event page where you can buy tickets and whatnot in our show notes. So please check it out.
Yeah, absolutely. Very cool. Yeah, the St. Vrain. I didn't know they did music there. That's really cool.
They really don't. I mean, their business is 99% weddings.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll host community events, like they did some Startup Week stuff and some stuff with the Chamber.
I've been there for nonprofit stuff when they do fundraisers.
I think they'll like offer it up for community stuff, and even in this case, kind of like this, but mainly they just do weddings. They're really not, they have no PA, they have no production. We have to bring everything in, you know, to do all this. So, but
very
it should
cool.
be really cool. Awesome date night.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could maybe be convinced to leave the house. Because I can walk through
Brady,
this one.
No. You will be there. This is co-host obligation moment right
now. I was never told there would be any obligations.
There is.
Showing up for an hour every week. You get bop along Cassidy. And just come on
it's down. Walking distance. I love it. That's a good, well, like, you have to come.
You've heard this a few times, but I complain all the time about leaving my house. And like, I only ever go, I go like biking and like, to like dry land, I might go do open mic again tonight at Abbott and Wallace.
For those of you, well, you won't hear this.
It's fine. I don't have to put up with anybody that way. It's great. You know, I hate everybody. I love you. I mean, I love our audience. Everybody's great.
Okay.
I'm just a all bad right. people person.
Two more quick things on restaurant news. We've got 99 Bar, which is the new burger bar from our friends the Gaffners, who have the Roost, Jefe's, Suelo's, and the no longer existing Smokin' Bowls. But in that same space are opening 99 Bar, a burger bar. And it's opening officially, I think, May 18th is what they said.
Eric Ozempa, I just, every time I hear Smokin' Bowls, I think of you. Yeah. I just want to, I don't know that you listen to this anymore, but I love you. I miss you. It's great. Did you hear the story about?
He's our founder.
Eric was like, I made a reference about the name being a little on the nose.
Yeah.
You know? And he's like, yeah, sure. And then he went home and talked to his wife, and I think it's a pot thing. Didn't have any idea.
Oh, he didn't. Oh, I totally thought that was a part of it.
Oh, it's 100%. It has to be. Like, if it's not, it's like somebody's.
Wasn't the logo even green?
I think so.
Oh.
Like, yeah, it was one of those that's like so, but like Eric's so genuine and like, you know, that's not a part of his life and whatever. He had no idea. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's just like, it's a little on the nose even for here, isn't it? And he's like, yeah, sure. And then like next week he was like, oh, I think I finally got it. It's like, yeah, well. So, Eric.
We love you.
Every time I hear Smokin' Bowls mentioned, I still think of you.
So 99 Bar is opening May 18th. It's a Thursday. They were trying to open in April, but they'll be coming along here. So do check it out.
What are they? So it's a burger bar. Yeah. And they said, this is the one that said, oh, the burgers are just going to cost what they cost or whatever.
Yeah.
Is that this place? Okay. Yeah.
Exactly.
I wouldn't mind another place that has.
Supposedly they're going to be open a little later, too, trying to. A little smidge later.
We'll see. People ask for that, and I'm not convinced that we're there.
I don't think people show up.
Honestly. I think that's the thing. I think everyone's like, oh, I'd love to have somewhere to go. And it's like, there's going to be like four people, and the people owning it, like.
I mean, Annette, seriously. Our guest, made that great point a few weeks ago about like everybody wants that, the like one Thursday that they go out.
Yeah.
And they're not there to, support that every other night of the week, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to go out every night,
yeah.
You know, and support that kind of thing. So I would like another burger. I like burgers. And I was going to say, when we were talking before about Long's Peak Pub, I think 300 Sons is amazing burgers, and they'll make a GF version for me, which is astounding. And the thing that I was let down by at Long Peak Pub is that they didn't have like a gluten-free option for bread or whatever.
Oh, and so you have to get it lettuce wrapped?
Well, which I'm not going to do because it's super weird. But then you do that. They're just like, do you just want the patty? And they may have changed. I haven't been there a little bit, but it's like,
you know, you're right. I think it is. You just get the patty, because I have a friend with really strict dietary.
Yeah. And
she
like,
just gets the patty, but
100% don't eat that. And so then it's like, no, I don't want just the patty. Just give me some fries or something. Like, I'll just eat fries, I guess. I'll just have fries for dinner.
They are very good fries. But
and
then like, you know, heaven forbid you want like mustard or mayonnaise on your burger. It's like right. 50 cents
right.
for each one of those there.
So it's like a little bit like,
yeah.
I do
we
think.
We get nickel and dime for everything. I mean, jalapenos are like $2 or $3 or something. And every time I'm like to my husband, please, can we just bring some jalapenos? Because that is where we get like robbed every time we go places.
Like the frontier of restaurants.
Yeah.
But I always want to go to 300 cents and I always forget.
Yeah.
And like, another one is Outworld Brewing. Their pictures of food looks amazing. Have you guys been there? It's on like the outskirts of town, and so like towards I-25.
Yeah.
And so they actually even reached out to me, which I always super appreciate, and said please come. And I've wanted to go there, and I just cannot remember when we think where can we go for food to pop over there.
I do think that like Long's Peak Pub has an amazing venue, because they're just like, yeah, bring your kids, bring your dogs, whatever, come hang out, which I love. I think it's great. Also walking distance, but like 300 Sons is slightly, it's a bit more work, it's a little bit further. Their burgers are amazing, and I guess their chicken was in some, like, national competition.
Yeah.
They won?
They won,
I was trying to find the, I'm glad you told me, because I was looking for that, I couldn't find it.
What did they win?
Well, that's a good question that I don't quite remember, but I know I saw all over the place in my feed, it was like, vote for us, and
vote
I don't know where it was, maybe 5280, we'll say, I have no idea.
Yeah.
We'll have to fact check that one, but whatever it was, they won.
Right. Awesome. And, like, they have really good food. The Scratch Kitchen's really good. And I used to go and just be like, all right, I just want to do takeout. But they're doing enough business that they're like, we're not doing that anymore.
Oh, bummer.
You come and sit here or don't. You're not getting graced with our food. It's like, well, fine, I'll go somewhere else. I'll go to Five Guys, I guess. It's fine.
Well, I'll tell you who else has a really good chicken sandwich is Urban Field Pizza.
Okay.
Urban Pizza Field. I don't really know the order. But they have this amazing fried chicken sandwich, and it's got pesto on it and tomato sauce. Or maybe they call it a chicken parmesan. I don't know. Anyways, so good.
Well, somebody should try it. Let me know. It's verboten.
There's pictures of that on Longmont Dish.
It's verboten for me. I can't do any of the no gluten. It'll kill me. Feel terrible.
You can only get it at, what's the one in town? The Post.
The Post.
The Post is
Oh, they do non. Oh, it's just completely gluten free.
Totally not gluten-free. Even. Their
chicken's
gluten-free.
Very cool.
Yeah. Their food's good. I like their food. Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. I just, again, it gets a little pricey.
Yes.
Especially like during the pandemic, we could do the family pack. That was like a good deal. And then I don't know, like if it was DoorDash, but like someone started raising prices, right? Everybody started to realize that they were getting killed by the fees. So everyone's menu prices on DoorDash went up. And then it was to the point where I remember we called to order because something went wrong with DoorDash, and it was like $20 less for us to just go pick it up.
Right.
And so then I was like, oh, it can be a little bit more affordable, but it's like stuck in my head that it's pretty pricey.
It's pretty pricey.
Their kale salad.
They actually
– Oh, the kale salad is so good.
I don't know if they're doing it anymore, but they have their own delivery.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they have, and I don't know if it's continued now, but you can just have them deliver it. And they're fast. They're like, oh, it'll be like an hour, and then like 20 minutes later your chicken's there, and you're like – this is awesome.
That's amazing.
And also their collard greens are good.
Yeah.
Which I didn't appreciate until I was eating. I'm like, I like the collard greens at the Post. And then I like got them a couple other places. I'm like, these are crap. Like those are actually pretty good. So I get that a lot.
I never even order collard greens.
They're pretty good down there.
Yeah. Well, part of that, I'm realizing, again, we're on a radio show or podcast, so you can't see me. But so I grew up with a black family, and they made collard greens. So
right.
When I go to restaurants, you know, 9 times out of 10, I'm disappointed.
Have you ever had a good collard green somewhere?
Yeah. So for a little bit, there was the gal that had the Caribbean food in the spot that's now the Mexican ice cream shop.
Yeah.
Oh. I think that's Mexican. I don't know. And I would say also, please, if they're listening, please change your banner because nobody can read what you are.
It's so bad. And it's so cool in there. Once you go in, they have really fun stuff in there.
Yeah. So we're talking back again to that 15th and Main, the white like shopping center where there's blue corn tacos. And just a little bit north, there was an awesome lady who did Caribbean food. There's actually no kitchen in there. So she was cooking at home and bringing it in, which I'm pretty sure you can't do, but great food. And then now it's the ice cream place. And it just says now open is the only thing you can read from the street. And every time I just want to pop in and just be like, guys.
Hey, guys, I got a nice big marker here if you need it.
Because they have, like, the Tres Leches. They have a whole case of ice cream. And they have a bunch of fun candy and, like, popsicles and all kinds of stuff. It's really fun.
Yeah, we should go. There's also another one off of Francis and 11th. Same thing. Bad banners.
Yeah.
Don't know what it is that you're not just double-checking your work from the street. But it's another ice cream place. No idea the name because you cannot read it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I will say I don't have a frame of reference for, like, good greens. Because, like, I grew up with tater tot hot dish. I mean – I came from a very white family. It's like, there's cheese in this one. And it's like, well, it's Velveeta, you know. Solid stuff. But like, even when we lived in Virginia, it wasn't really a huge thing. And then sort of some of these other types of sides that you can get have like come across the country. And it's like, yeah, it's pretty good. And again, it's going to have so much stuff that's gluten free. And it's like, do you want the beans again? And it's like, man, no. Like I got to, you know, I sleep in the same bed with my wife. Like I don't want to necessarily have beans every time I eat out. So happy for some of those things. Like some of those things are pretty, but like mac and cheese, like I can't have that, you know?
Yeah. Well, so get this list. My best friend, she has all these allergies and it's really terrible because when she eats something that she's allergic to, her whole face turns bright red and swells up and gets really itchy and peely. It's fantastic. So she gets poisoned all the time, but like I love her spirit to still try and go out to eat all the time. But she can't have dairy. She can't have eggs, corn, gluten.
Oh my God.
What else? There was like no garlic for a long time. Yeah. Like a lot of like the seasoning premixes will mess her all up until you never know what it is. She also can't have fish and pineapple. I mean, like the list goes on and on, right? Yeah. So
it's like,
so say like even without the fish, the other stuff, I'm like, okay, so she's eating like pickles and and like broccoli.
But I heard a lot of things are like high histamine in that.
Is that
too.
What it is?
And like, but that's something people can be sensitive to. It's like histamine. That pineapple is really common. And what else did you just say after that? Something else that makes. Anyway, and I think pickles would be higher in histamine because of.
I've never seen her get pickles. Usually she gets like the burger patty at Long's Peak with the date paste. That one works. And she can have goat cheese, which is huge.
That's
like,
tough.
That's her big splurge.
Being like in a bubble for food.
Well, but the one thing she can eat tons of is Thai food. And so we have that amazing new Thai restaurant, Anchin Thai, which I'm obsessed with.
You are. That was like actually a question of mine. I want to know what you think the best Thai is in town because it's a question.
I would say hers. And
is that the one on Main, right by Third Main or whatever?
Nope.
Which one's
but
this one?
Interesting story about that. So Anchin Thai is over behind Suelo's.
Okay.
It was forever this like, I don't know, King something Asian bistro. I have no idea. And I don't know if you ever went there. Unfortunately, there was like never anyone there, but then they had like raw fish in the bar. It was a little sketchy. That guy kept that place open for a really long time. And then finally was like, I need to get some new tenant in there. And he met Annie, who owns Anchin Thai. And I'm so glad that they connected and opened up because she used to do cooking at Manatee. And that's the one on 3rd and Main.
Okay.
And so they went into like business together and then she used all her family recipes and then they never paid her.
Oh.
Like went like a year, didn't pay her.
Ooh.
So then she left and started her own restaurant.
As you should. Yeah.
But they're still competing with this. They're still using her recipes. So I'm like very against.
I'm like now into this place and like the next time the struggle for me is like if I can find a restaurant that says GF on the menu, usually it's pretty good. And then if like the other ones, like I've gone to taco places and I'll be like, can you just make sure not to like cross-contaminate the gluten or whatever? And then you get some like teenager who's like, what's that? And it's like, oh man, well, we'll roll the dice, you know, just have a crummy day. But if you can go somewhere like that, I would love to have a decent Thai place that.
Oh yeah. I'm telling you again. my friend has this huge list of things, and it's to the point where she goes there multiple times a week.
Love it.
And because she's like, I can try everything on this menu. And nice. So there's How a ton of vegan and gluten-free options. I'm just kind of in general, Asian food is a little better, I feel like, about like gluten-free and dairy-free.
It's just cleaner. I mean, overall, you use more veggies and broths. And
well, and then like they have a tradition of using rice and not like, you know, that's the staple starch. So
so what's the dish to order there? And I've always called it, first I called it Ankan Thai, then I called it Anshan Thai, and now I've got to change it again to Anshan.
Oh, you know what? Maybe I'm mispronouncing
it. No, I don't know either, honestly.
It's a flour. I know that much.
Right, it's a flour. They put it in their really cool tea, right?
Yes,
it's
my gosh. Cool. And so Anshan, I really don't know.
I know, right? We need to
figure Listen, out. It's Annie's Thai place. It's really, I wish you would have called it that.
Okay.
and so, that tea is so good. And the good news is that she's got a bartender a couple of nights a week, and Monday is their like busiest night, so there's usually a bartender there on Monday nights.
Monday?
Yes. So most restaurants are closed on Monday. Yeah. There's only a handful, right? We've got like Westside, Sushi Leo, Pump House, and then Anshan is open, and there's got to be some other ones. So I should also like preface and say that I don't usually eat at like chain restaurants.
I'm sure you can hit DQ or like whatever.
Yeah. Chili's is probably open. Yeah, who's probably. Now their poor C has fallen over, so it's Illy's. but I don't ever really frequent there. So Monday nights, for whatever reason, I'm always hungry, want to go out, and that's one of the places you can go. And then they're slammed. She usually has to turn off DoorDash on Mondays.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they've got a bartender,
and they make a vodka cocktail with that iced tea, and it's so those that don't know, it's gorgeous. It's this bright purple color. Well, first it starts off, bright purple, and then they put lime juice on the top, and when you stir it, then it becomes a pink color.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, and it gets a little ombre, like as you're sitting there sipping it, and she puts fresh flowers, and then they make an ice cream, and they put peanuts on top of it, and she says in Thailand, they do ice cream in hot dog buns. With peanuts on top. And that's like what you get at a street vendor, so you can like eat your whole ice cream on the road.
In a hot dog bun. I feel strangely uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like I know like a cone, not even a waffle cone, the normal ones. Like that's
it's
just
basically like a toasted hot dog bun.
Yeah, it's just
Know. Do they toast it? I don't know. I haven't been to Thailand. That's one place I have not been yet. But
So
she does really authentic stuff. And I in the beginning, I remember her pad thai tasted a little different than other places. And I feel like for me, when I try a restaurant, that's what
had
I start
is the
with.
Pad thai, and I didn't like her pad thai that much. And I was like, and you're totally changing my perspective because I've been like, because I heard really good things about
it.
And I ordered the pad thai, and I didn't love it.
Yep. And that's what I do for every Thai restaurant. The first thing I taste is your pad thai. And I also, the more I think about Thai, I think it relates back because like a lot of it's family recipes, right? And like same thing with collard greens, right? So like the way my grandmother made collard greens is the right way in my mind.
Right.
And I think with a lot of Thai food and, you know, probably Italian and everything else, it's what you first had that you first really loved that now every flavor you taste afterwards, you sort of relate back to.
Yeah, you have your yardstick.
Right. Yeah.
That's why I can't go anywhere and get a decent tater tot.
And remember the write-in from that writer who said that the China Panda probably served spaghetti noodles as pad thai, and that's what she always believed that they're supposed to taste like because that was what she had first. Mm-hmm. It was so funny. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, so the first time I tried the pad thai, and I also hate her crab wontons, and she puts onion in them, and like the onion is not chopped small enough, and so it overpowers it. And I'm sorry, any of you listening, because I've been too scared to tell you that in person. It really, it's terrible. And when I look on like DoorDash, the number one thing ordered is pad thai, and then this wontons, and I'm like, oh god, this is not what I want out there. So I love her pad kaprao. I think that's so good. And then the crab fried rice is my favorite. And I think another judgment I would say for all Thai restaurants is whether or not they have like the hot sauces. If you can't get those, this is not authentic. And so I can never pronounce what it's called, but it's like a fish sauce hot sauce. And it's Thai chilies chopped up and fish sauce. And it is so good. And it's the best on the crab fried rice. And so all the Thai restaurants in town do not have the hot sauces. And the another thing that, again, I've not said to Annie, but she doesn't serve it to the table. You have to like order it and ask for it. And same thing with soy sauce. So then they always have to bring you like a little ramekin, and it feels so wasteful. And then you have to like flag the guy down. And it's a new restaurant, so of course they've got staffing issues. And like, if you could just set it on the table, it could save us all, you know, a little bit of work.
Yeah, just non-confrontational Midwesterners, like, can we have
imagine. Well, and then you're going to leave all mad, right? Couldn't get soy sauce till my food was like all gone. It whatever was cold. It is. Yeah. And ooh. So it just, I'm like, oh, please, like little things. And this is the stuff that I originally, like I said, I started the Instagram to try and just give customers like a little bit of feedback, right? Help them grow, help them succeed. And then the pandemic happened. And so then I didn't want to ever say anything negative. And I feel like, I was, you know, saying nice things, but anytime I wrote a negative one, that was the one I always got the most likes on. Then the pandemic came and then I wrote something negative. People were so upset. Ah. And so now I don't really write anything negative, but I will definitely come in. Like Suelo's, unfortunately, I'm not a fan of any of the Roost restaurants. And Suelo's, I wrote and I said, oh, you know, such cool atmosphere, which they slay on. But I didn't love the food.
Right.
And they wrote back and said, what could we do? And I so appreciated that they did do that. And I haven't been back to try the dish. I should. But they inspired me. I made the dish on my own at home and loved it. And that's, I think, a little bit my problem with the Roost restaurants is that I feel like it's all stuff you can make at home.
Right.
But I will say, after like years of not really going there, I went recently and I got the, and I'm going to mispronounce it probably, the like gyro or something.
Oh, yeah. The lamb thing.
Yeah. And they had a plate and it was delicious and they make their own. And so I thought that was really good. And I was really happy that there's a dish because the part of the problem with me having the Instagram thing is like, right, like someone wants to invite me out to dinner and then they know I'm going to have an opinion about everything. So people probably don't want to invite me places. But now I can go to the Roost happily and eat a meal. And,
interesting. Well, yeah. I've heard that like as a, maybe not criticism, but just more like a comment about all of their restaurants is that they're really good operators. Like they know how to nail the experience and the environment and people come back because it's a really consistent experience and environment. And if you're going to pay $50 to eat a burger and whatever else, you want to enjoy the environment that you're in.
Right.
And if for most palates, I think it's just as good as something, you know, the next thing, if you have a really, I don't know, if you're like you, you might have like a little bit more higher expectations, I think. And I'm like failing at words today. I feel so.
I think I know what you're saying, though.
But like, you know what I'm saying? Like they nail the experience and they're really like smart operators that way. It's not like you're going and getting the best cuisine experience that you could get.
I wouldn't ever put that at the feet of like any of those restaurants.
Yeah.
Like this is the best. Like if you go to the Roost, they make really good drinks. I'll give them that. It's all like new Longmont prices for drinks, though. Like they're one of the first that were like, well, we're just charging whatever we want to charge now. It's like, oh my God, really?
Yeah. I got a double Tito's and soda one time that was $17. And that was also part of my boycott. And this was years ago. This was pre-pandemic.
And that to me is like, this is part of why I like I just don't go out. Cause it's like, I can buy ginger beer from Whole Foods, like the really spicy stuff and throw some rye in there. It's amazing. Like in some lime. And I'll just happily sit on my back porch. Cause it's like, this was like $4. I go out and like have to yell, and my wife doesn't like, she doesn't project. She's not like me and you and Annie here, where like they're gonna hear you in the back. And so it's like, well, now we just sit here in silence drinking. You want another one? Or you wanna like go home and talk to each other? It's like, oh, I don't know, I didn't talk to you today. So, you know, then you hang out. So, like, that to me is an issue too, is when everything's so loud. And I say, like, the Roost is kind of like that. We went to Jefe's last week, and that was...
Oh, it's so loud.
It's so loud.
You can't take kids there. It is so loud. It's well, maybe really just really my loud. Kid who has sensory stuff, but that's how I discovered it, essentially. Like, why did we walk in and you melted down?
Yeah.
So speaking of Jefe's, talk to us about... Because I saw you made a post about the one...
Rosa Cantina, who I've been three times. And I think I worded that wrong, but I have been there three times in the last 2 weeks. I went there last night again. And it's going to be so hard not to go on Cinco de Mayo, but I feel like they're going to be too crowded. But I want to go every day of my life.
So tell us where it is.
Yes. So Rosa Cantina has opened up. It's next to Pistachios and like the Sonic across the street from Tres Margaritas, which... Oh my gosh, please, if I can make a recommendation, don't go there. If you want Mexican food. I mean, unless you're really looking for like white
Mexican. No, we're going to get to Mexican food. Okay. Well, we're on Mexican food, so keep going.
Yeah, I was going to ask about Mexican food anyway and like...
Well, hang on. I want to hear about Rosa Cantina. Yeah. This is like, because it's the most random location. Like, you wouldn't have thought, you know, up there by Pistachios, it's just, you don't think to go up there.
Well, and the reason why is because the guy that owns it, his sister owns Pistachios. So he has a Thornton location, and then I think they always lived in Longmont, or the back of the menu anyway
right,
says something
Latinas
about.
In there in Pistachio.
Oh, I haven't been in a while, but breakfast food is also very hard with a three-year-old. Mm. But so they moved. I mean, that space I think was vacant for quite some time, so I'm sure they got a great deal. But man, they basically made it like a Denver restaurant in Longmont. Like, it's decorated to the nines. The cocktails are off the charts. So, so good. The salsas, everything is so good. And like, everything's really authentic. I mean, there's my favorite dish. I don't have a clue what the name of it is, but it's a taco with a square around it. So if you're there, that's the one. And it's like shrimp and cheese taco, and then on top of it, they put ceviche. And then this ridiculously hot salsa that is addictive, and you'll be sitting there sweating but eating more. So I would definitely get that on the side if you don't like spicy things. And then they do margarita flights. And I just like, we're like already planning birthday events there. I mean, we live there now. Wow. I love that place. Yeah.
Out of nowhere, it feels like.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't think they've been open for too long. But
I feel like word has been spreading though. I mean, my mom lives up near there. And so she was the first one, and she loves Mexican food. And she went, and she's like, that Annie, that Rosa Cantina, I'm telling you, it was awesome. I was like, really? Like up there, that random? And then someone else went and they said good things. My sister. And then I saw you post like shortly after. I was like, oh, I hear this place is amazing. And it's like kind of hard to convince me. I'm like, no, well, like North Maine. You've got to go.
Yeah. I don't put a lot of stock into Google reviews usually because like a lot of stuff gets game, but they're running at a 4.9 right now.
Are they really?
Yeah, almost 100 reviews and they're running at 4.9, which is if you don't like watch like even game reviews, that's pretty freaking high. So I want to check that one out too. That looks really good.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing. And they're open until I want to say 10 or 11, maybe 11 on weekends, 10.
Oh, wow.
Something like that. They're a later night, later than 9. I can tell you that much.
It's funny because we were in, like I said, we went to whatever the place I was saying. It might have been Friday or something. No, it was like Tuesday when it was raining last week. We went to the Jefe's.
Oh, uh-huh.
And we went in there and I like called down, bring, hey, you know, what's the wait like? I'm not going to stand around for an hour and it ain't me. So I'm just like, what's it like? Like 5 minutes. And I get down there, like three of the people got there. So we had to wait for a few minutes. It was fine. But then it's like, if we'd have waited an extra like 10 minutes, the place just vacated at 7:58 or whatever. It was just like, everybody's like, well, I don't know. I'm going to wake up at 5 and get on, you know, got to go hike or whatever. And it's just like, now there's tables everywhere. And it's like, you know, we're seated like right by the front door and it's super loud. And if we'd have waited, yeah. I was starving anyway. So I was like, I'm going to go eat. But yeah, it was crazy because it's Longmont. And they're going, oh, well, we want these late night places. But you watch a place that's just tearing it up every night, like Jefe's. Like they're always super busy. And then at 8 o'clock on like some random day, well, we're all going home.
Yeah. I went on Thursday of last week to Rosa Cantina at 8 o'clock and we were like, there was two tables.
Yeah.
And so I assume they were probably slim. So I don't know if they'll continue with the late night hours, but nice to see that they're starting it and they're opening a new patio.
Yeah.
So there's an apartment complex right behind there and I'm very envious of those people.
Yep.
Yeah.
They can walk there. What are some other Mexican restaurants that you recommend?
Yeah, this is a big one because like there's...
Well, Longmont is Mexican food. Right? Yeah. I feel like we're like the capital of Colorado, in
yeah,
my opinion.
Because like so if you go on... This is like on the subreddit, this is a heated thing. Because it's like, oh, and like Marco's always is like, people are always talking
about... I am so scared to eat at Marco's.
I legit, same. But people rave about that place. And I like Josie's, like what used to be Benny's. And they don't do dinner anymore. We used to go down there once a week. So those are the ones that I know about.
So hit us up. What do you think?
Yeah. Where are you? Like, where are you?
Well, I guess it kind of depends on what you're looking for, right? So I think my biggest gripe was that there was never somewhere you could go get chips and salsa and, like, a good drink and, like, really enjoy the food. If you wanted really good tacos, you'd have to go to, like, I Love Mocajete, you know, or Taco Don Jose's. But, like, the atmosphere is not there. So you get the really good taco but not the rest.
Right. Exactly.
And then if I go somewhere else, like... Three Margaritas, or what's it? I guess it's not even called Trace Margaritas. No, it's Three Margaritas. Yeah, if you go to Three Margaritas or like La Mariposa or something like that, first off, it's like overpriced and it's very, very gringo, just like slop. And so you can get the atmosphere, but the drinks aren't that good. Like sometimes I just want to like hear some Mexican music and eat some chips. So then I was really thrilled when Lunada Cantina opened because I felt like that was a good mix and it is really good food. But again, depends on what it is you're like looking for, I guess. Except for Rosa Cantina, just it's everything.
Everything. The one in Prospect, I feel like, is similar to Lunada Cantina, Laguna.
Oh, wait a minute. How have I been
there? It's at the corner of. Remember where Three Dog Diner used to be?
Oh, I haven't been there yet. That's another one that I want to do. They have lunch specials, yeah. And I'm always wanting to go there when I work from home.
And they have live music a lot, like on Friday nights and stuff. That's really fun. It's a little loud, but kind of fun, and just great environment. And the food's like. It's pretty good. Like,
I'm
all right.
So glad
like,
you reminded me of that. I really want to go try there because the atmosphere looks gorgeous.
Yeah, totally. Not that big. Kind of smaller, but anyway. But to your point, like sort of like strikes that balance, but then the food is still like not – it's not. It's okay. It's all right. It's like slop. I was just
slop. It's just, you know, and so many restaurants do that, or they're this like super authentic hole in the wall. But it's like, but sometimes, I mean, I suppose
some of the like, yes, I've had some of the hole in the wall restaurants are just like, this is amazing food.
Yeah,
this is because I've been to Taco Don Jose's. We used to eat there all the time. We used to eat at Josie's all the time back when it was called Benny's, and like, I would still be eating at Benny's probably one night a week.
Did the food change?
No, like they're not open at night anymore.
Oh, okay.
And I'm traumatized.
That is quite sad. So I guess they're just slinging breakfast burritos. It doesn't really seem like a stop-in and pop place.
No, I think, well, years ago when I talked to, I can't remember if I talked to him or her, they're not together anymore is the story that I was told.
Oh, I like how it went from Benny's to Josie's.
Yeah, that's that's the ticket. I think Benny got the restaurant in Berthoud.
Oh, okay.
If memory serves, and then she's got the one in Longmont, and she switched it from Benny's to Josie's. And she's, I mean, just the sweetest, and she makes great food. And they said years ago that they would go, like, to construction sites, and they would do the whole, like, breakfast burrito thing. And I don't know if it's, like, they're ordering ahead or if they just go because the clientele is there,
yeah,
you know, or what. But, like, that was – they must make a boatload of money doing that. And then they do lunch, and then that's it, 2 o'clock. And they used to be up until 5. Yeah. And I was like, what are you doing at, like, 5? What am I supposed to eat at, like – Get my, like, white hair special going, like, start eating at 4:15. I'd just be like, I'm going to take this home.
But if they've been up since 3, you know, making burritos.
Yeah, they want to be done.
Yeah.
But I think they were having staffing issues at the pandemic, like a lot of people were. And then they cut back, and then they cut back again, and they might just have decided, things are fine, we'll just do lunch. But I'm so traumatized I don't do dinner anymore because we used to get it once a week. I get to take out or whatever, and then just, like, go home and sit on the back patio and, like, have a margarita or something. Yeah.
What about some of these other more like authentic restaurant sit down ones like La Panda or which is the one like near 11th and Main or whatever, and then the other one the Las Palmeras.
I won't go there.
Palmeras?
Las Palmeras is like that and like 3 margaritas. They're like the king of slop, and we've got some like there was tequilas or something again. Like I don't know. I'm so picky because I came from Southern California.
Right.
So, like, pad thai would be my, like, intro for Thai food. I would say, like, an al pastor taco is my intro for Mexican food. If you can nail that, then I'm very excited to, like, try other things on your menu. If you serve it to me and there's, like, no pineapple and, like, the pork hasn't even got, like, a red tone to it, like, we're not doing business.
You got places to be, and it's not here.
It's not there, yeah. And so, like, guacamoles is another one that actually has a good al pastor taco. But my favorite is Mocajete's al pastor. I mean, I also like Don Jose's. But, yeah, and then there's, like, Blue Agave. A friend of mine went there, and they said it was really good. I haven't been there.
I've heard good things, too, but I haven't been either.
Yeah, so I think I've got that stereotypical thing where it's, like, in my mind, it's either a hole in the wall and good, or it's, like, got chips and salsa and Mexican music, and it's not good. So, yeah,
I think you're onto something.
Yeah, but they're getting better, right? We're getting more places, and I need to be open to trying more. When I only get to go out to eat so much, and you know, the boss gets mad.
Yeah,
right.
I don't want to waste my time.
Okay, so what is Longmont missing in terms of cuisine, and like maybe even like a cuisine genre or something?
Well, there's, I mean, like ethnic wise, obviously anything ethnic we're missing for sure. I really wish we had like a Greek restaurant would be fun.
It's come up a few times recently. Yeah.
Yeah. What else? I mean, whenever I'm in Boulder, I feel like I always do Greek. Oh, like a really good sushi would be nice. We have pretty mediocre sushi. Love the people. Like, I frequent there a lot, but I don't feel like they really nail it.
What do you think, Sushi Leo or Sumo? Which one's better?
Oh, not Sumo. No, Sushi Leo I think is better. I think Sumo is very like Olive Garden sushi to me. great lunch specials, but not good sushi. Like that's my thing too with Asian restaurants that do like they serve pad thai there. So pick a genre, okay? If you're gonna be like a sushi restaurant, stick with Japanese food. Anytime an Asian restaurant does, you know, multiple times,
crosses
like,
over.
Yeah, multiple flavors of Asia, they fail at all of them. I feel like, and so I learned that, and I lived in Chicago for 6 whole weeks, and all of their Asian restaurants were like this, like blend of things, and
Asian
they all
fusion.
Just yeah, they fusion, and it was just terrible. It's just terrible, and so now I just kind of stray away. But I will like I order sumo. I will say every Friday I order sumo and do DoorDash because for like $25 I can feed my son and he doesn't have his meltdown. I stay home and work from home on Fridays, and he stays home, and he's always like I'm not hungry. But then like miso soup and gyoza show up, and he's super starving. Mm. So I do order from them, but I just don't think it's like amazing food.
What about Sakura?
I love their food. Yep. I think they have good sushi.
That's usually the place that we go if we go anywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's good. And I think Leo's pretty good. But you like all these places you can go in and you can have bad times, right? Depends on when they get their fish delivered. Sushi Hana used to be good. It's way gone downhill.
Yeah.
And that's really sad. The guy's so nice. But
what about Kuzoku or however you say it? The one on 17th and Hover-ish? West. Oh,
you're talking about Sushi Box.
No, no, it's not sushi. Sorry, I'm just the noodles. The
Yes, Thai Kitchen. Used to be Meili.
Meili's.
Yeah, Meili.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I miss Meili. Honestly, it's good. And I like the first couple times I went there, I was like, oh my gosh, you put this patio, because that part of their problem, right, is that they had this tiny little, I don't know if you guys know where this is at. So it's right off of 17th and like airport.
It's, like
it's
near
a tiny,
Harvard
tiny.
And,
Yeah, by Harvard.
Hoover and Harvard kind of.
Yeah, yeah, it's like six tables or, with sorry, no air Harvard. Conditioning. Yeah. And so it was like a hard place. They don't serve alcohol. For me, that's a big deal. So
dine in there is just rough.
It's rough. Yeah, it was always takeout. But then they build this beautiful patio. I'm like, why didn't you do that when you guys were Thai food? I mean, I don't think that they nailed every single dish, but I really did like their pad kaprao. And it was just like, it was very consistent. The guy was so nice. And then now they've got Japanese food, which is, it's good.
The ramen.
But it's not, and I'm not a ramen eater, so maybe that's part of the problem too, is I always get the, what is it called, Gyu Don. And I like Sushi Leo's better. And so I just feel bad. But if that's the one dish and somebody else does it better, I don't really go there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But he, that's another story where it's the relationships. And he and his wife split, and she wanted the Thai restaurant. He's Thai. And like they wanted the restaurant. And then they split. And now he's dating a Japanese woman. And now it's Japanese.
Oh, I've been wondering where the pivot came from.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, because I remember hearing that news going,
stories.
That's a weird departure.
That is so interesting.
Yeah.
So do you, how about coffee? Are you a coffee person?
Oh, it's real sad. I'm actually allergic to caffeine.
Yeah.
It makes me like I'm carsick. And so I'm like lightheaded, dizzy, nauseous after one sip, and even like certain chocolates and desserts.
Because I found out recently, I think I probably have ADHD, and which would explain like the massive amounts of caffeine that I've been taking like since I've been like 15.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh yeah, people with ADHD have like super high tolerances for it, like helps.
Well, because it calms you.
Yeah,
like it does like, the reverse.
So
yeah.
I still get a little boost from it, but like, I'm
focuses
all
you.
Freaking day. Just about, so it's just like, oh, that's too bad.
It's so really good. Yeah, I know. Well, most people are like, oh my gosh, how do you do life? And it's like, well, if you like can't have it, you just do it.
Out, exactly.
Yeah.
Have the dependency.
I guess I switched the addiction to alcohol. It's fine.
Well, yeah.
So, and that would be another genre I'd say that we're really lacking in is fantastic cocktails, but also kid friendly. So I really miss that. I feel like you can never really get it all in Longmont. There's always some sort of like missing puzzle piece. With Westside, which I'd say is one of my favorites, everyone's favorite, right? Unfortunately, I feel like too many people know about it and so hard to get in.
I live close to there. A lot of people know about that place, I'll say that. Because it can be like if you're out like on Francis Street, which is right there, if you don't know, like a tease with Third. If you're like in that area trying to leave after dark and like people are drinking and walking around and cars are coming, those become borderline unnavigable. They're so busy.
Well, they've done all that like parking restrictions and stuff. Yeah. Yeah. And that was a whole thing. And then poor Wes like buried himself with his comments online.
Yeah. So. Wes, I think he's done a really like a nice job with the restaurant and the bar. But he's a bit of a victim of his own success because that place is going like gangbusters, and it's like you have to understand, like we live.
I love
here.
It. He's just a kooky operator, and he just does his own thing. And I'm like so glad that there are people like that that still have just their small little gig, and they run exactly how they want, and even sometimes like cut off their nose to spite their face, and it's just great. Like I want that.
He's a cool I don't want to like. You know, we're not about
totally
starting
funny.
Bad blood, but
he's an interesting
well,
person.
And he was misunderstood in a lot of his texts, or like, I don't know, I guess you don't
That's
call
fair.
Them texts, but like the posts that he made.
Close enough.
And and so I felt bad for him when I read some of the replies and things like that. But I mean, the business is still booming. It's still hard to get in there. I've got some secrets on how you can get in, which I don't think I'm going to say on air because I still need to be able to get into this restaurant. But I love that place. And I started bringing my son there like as an infant. And what I did is I bought a high chair, like a restaurant style high chair, and I just kept it in my trunk because we were frequenting that restaurant so much and they don't have high chairs. And so we just were turning it into a kid's place. And now we always go, they have like a tiki bar, and we go and we sit there and he brings his Hot Wheels and he just loves it. And so normally it's like, well, where do you want to go to eat? And he's like, the place with the little fries.
Cute. Turn him into a little baby foodie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're going to wrap it up just because we've been here for a minute.
Yeah, we've been. We
could prattle on, honestly, on and on and on. And we're just going to have you on again because we got it.
I feel like we didn't
awesome
even really talk that much about restaurants.
I know. We really didn't. You're like, I got way more than this, kid.
No, and like, I think it's a good discussion for town because like when we moved here, and I've said this over and over and over again, we moved here in 2013. got dogs in 2014, 2015 or whatever. And we would walk them from our house all the way to Main Street on the weekend during the day. And it was just like crickets, like, you know, the deafening sound of silence and like tumbleweeds blowing around and like nothing was happening. And like everything has changed so much in the last 10 years. And it's like, holy cow, there's so much cultural shift. There's so many restaurants and stuff opening that's like you can keep having these conversations. And it's like there's still – it's like, oh, yeah, I don't know about this like little hole in the wall place on 23rd. It's, there's stuff to talk about. We could easily do this again for another hour. I'd be happy to do it again.
I would too.
Yeah, it's always fun to talk about food.
Yeah.
And the backstories. I love that because of this, I've gone out to eat and met so many people.
Yeah.
And then, of course, probably bad talk them all on the show. But
I found you can get away with more than you think.
Hopefully. I mean, they're all really nice people, you know, support them all. But it's so interesting to hear the hot goss, and you get to hear it while you're sitting around Longmont.
These are human-run businesses and stories. So.
And it's a little big, small town. Like, we've got all this.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly. Yeah. Just small enough, right? Well, thank you, Naomi, for coming on the podcast. Definitely check out her Instagram, Longmont Dish. Longmont _ Dish? You'll find it. Longmont Dish.
It's just Longmont Dish, yeah.
Yeah. And thanks so much for coming. Appreciate
it. Absolutely. Thank you.
As always, follow us, like us, subscribe. Yeah. We thank Andy Epler and David Cutter Music for our intro and outro music. And we will see you next time. Thanks a lot.
Peace and love.